Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of Fact, Fiction, or Bullshit. Or for all my new listeners out there, the FFB podcast for short. Hi, my name is PJ, and every episode we'll delve into the unknown to look at the history, the facts, the theories, and conspiracies, then ultimately decide fact, fiction, or bullshit. You know me, people, I love my films. However, scary films are not normally top of my list of things to watch. I'm more an action or a sci-fi sort of a person. But if in the mood, I will watch the occasional horror film. There is some weird part of me that enjoys being scared on some level. And I guess that's probably the same for most horror movie lovers out there. I think we enjoy it because we know that the evil on the TV screen is never actually going to affect us. But for some unfortunate people out there, what we see on our screens is a reality to them. They experience the fear and the terror that we would all have nightmares about. The thing is, for us, we're just watching a scary horror film. We can just turn it off or change the channel. But for them, it's not only affecting them, but their family as well. They simply can't just turn it off and leave. If you don't know already, we're going to be speaking about one of the most famous hauntings out there, and I personally would say up there with the Amityville House. So join me as I discuss the Smell family haunting, where I will ask the questions: what really went on in this haunted house? What caused it? And how useful were Ed and Lorraine Warren? Before asking, was this all just bullshit? But just before I start, I want to read a quote from the late Vatican exorcist Father Gabriel Amorth, who was fond of reminding the faithful and the sceptical, one of Satan's primary goals is to destroy a family, to separate them. It's an old plan to divide and conquer loving souls in hopes of thwarting them in their heavenly reward. At this moment in time, I think that's very apt, as you ladies, gents and people are aware that this is the case in most hauntings. The Amityville House, the Enfield Poltergeist, and sadly the same for the Smells. It's a way of making someone feel alone, cold, frightened, to question their own sanity, then to make them question everyone else's sanity, further pushing the family apart. And this all before moving on to the next member of family, causing the same effect. So, where did it all begin? It began with a completely natural phenomenon that happened in 1972. Hurricane Agnes flooded their home and made it unlivable. They packed up their family, and ladies, gents and people, it was a big family. Not only was it Jack and Janet Smell, but also their four daughters, as well as both of Jack's parents. This, for me, is why I just had to look into this haunting, as every single one of these people experienced something within this truly terrifying house. They moved in, and for the next 13 years, and some say unlucky for some, they experienced what could be the worst 13 years of their lives. They bought a duplex house on 330 Chase Street in West Pittston, Pennsylvania in the year of 1973. For all of you that don't know, a duplex house is a massive house split into two homes and has two separate front doors. This house was not perfect either, having been built in 1896. It needed some work. This, for the Smells, is when their terrifying journey into the abyss began. As with anything like this, it starts small. Tools went missing, then reappeared. Old wall stains seeped through fresh coats of paint. Then various kitchen appliances caught fire, even though they were unplugged. Awful smells overwhelmed the house, only to disperse moments later. The Smells, however, were resilient, and they soldiered on as ever. But things just continued to happen. In January of 1974, a strange stain appeared on one of the home's new carpets. It had no explanation and could not easily be removed. This was just the start for the Smells. A television set then burst into flames. Pipes continued to leak despite being repaired numerous times. The new sink and bathtub were scratched in a way that could not be explained. It was now when they received a totally terrifying revelation from their eldest daughter Dawn. She told her parents that she saw people floating around her bedroom. In 1977, after just over 3 years of the intermittent and easily overlooked experiences, the phenomena inside the home began to intensify. How could it get any worse, people? The family began hearing footsteps. Radios would blare music even though they were unplugged. Drawers were opened and then slammed closed. The family even experienced cold spots within the house. Jack felt an unseen hand caress him, and after this had happened, he had the constant feeling that someone was watching him. Like I said earlier, people, the whole family had experienced something. The parents living next door would often hear bangs within their home, and they would experience entities floating unobscured right in front of them. This presence wanted to see who it could break first. In 1985, the activity was at an all-time high. Ladies, gents and people, that's 12 years by the way. How have they put up with it for this long? I don't know about you, but not only have to go through that yourself, but then to let your whole family go through the same thing, I think I would have moved out by now. And I know you're probably all asking that same question, why didn't they? This demonic presence followed them on vacation and it even went to Jack's workplace causing disturbances. This is why the family did not move, as they believed this demon or entity would simply follow them. Scratches then began to appear on all the family members. The walls would rattle, toilets flushed on their own accord. But this was not it for the family. One night they were all sitting in the living room and their dog was picked up and flung against the wall. If you think that this could not get any worse, then you're wrong. Both Janet and Jack were both physically and sexually assaulted whilst in the house. And after this they decided that they needed help. In January of 1986, the exhausted family reached out to Ed and Lorraine Warren. And I'm sure most of you out there know who these people are. For all you that don't, they're paranormal investigators. Ed is a demonologist, and Lorraine is a clairvoyant and a medium. Some say that these are a pair of fraudulent charlatans. And you only have to look at the books and the films they've been involved with, and you kind of get where people are coming from. Their investigation into the house would last months, and it would last well into August of that year. The Warrens, along with Rosemary Froude, who was a nurse and psychic, investigated and witnessed strange goings-on within the house. It was believed that there were four different entities within the home. Three were fairly minor and likely responsible for some of the small unexplained phenomena. They were a harmless old lady, a violent teenage girl, and a man who had died in the home. The fourth, however, was a demon who controlled the other three spirits within the possessed home. The Warrens believed that there was something more frightening than this, though. That's tough to imagine, though, right? They believed that a passageway between two dimensions was located within the house. And this was the reason for the haunting. The Warrens tried everything they could, from prayers to hymns to covering the house in holy water. But even then, they knew they needed help as well. To deal with the most powerful entity, they contacted a Vatican-mandated exorcist, Father McKenna. He attempted the first exorcism in the home, and this did not go well. This only made the demon more angrier. After this, family members reported being sexually violated and ill. One of the twins, Karen, suddenly fell ill. She nearly died. Jack's mum had traces of beatings, bites and bruises all over her body. He performed two further exorcisms, and after the third, it appeared to calm down for the family. Well, for a few months at least. Here's where it gets a bit fuzzy in my investigation. It's claimed that after the third exorcism, the family moved out, but this demon simply followed them. They started to see a giant black mass float across their living room, knocks on their doors. They feared that their nightmare was about to begin again. This is when the fourth exorcism was conducted, ridding the smells of this demon. However, I've also read that the fourth exorcism was carried out at the actual home, so I can't say for definite which one is true. The only thing that I can say was true was that for the first time in nearly 14 years, the smells had peace. So, is all as appears the truth? Many people believe so. But just as many believe that this has to be one of the best ghost stories ever told. But what do I think? Is the Smell family haunting one of the most prolific out there? Without doubt. I can only think of the Battersea poltergeist that has haunted a family for longer. This now leads me on to my question, was the Smell household truly haunted? Did they really go through all these events stated? Fact, fiction, or bullshit? This is a tough one for me. I want to say bullshit as I think Ed and Lorraine Warren are complete charlatans, and they're only in it for the money. What's making me question myself is that this went on so long. The media coverage it got to was phenomenal. Can you imagine being in that house surrounded by press, phone calls at every given hour, being followed all day, every day? What must your kids' lives be at school like? Don't go near her, her parents are freaks and psychos. Look, there's that weird kid, you can just imagine it. They must have believed that something truly had happened, otherwise surely they would not have put their kids through it. But when it comes to it, no proof, just circumstantial. Stains on carpets and scratches on furniture. Anyone with kids knows that this is a common thing. The house is over 100 years old, you're bound to hear creaks, cracks and bangs. Pipes will burst, it's part of living in an old house. The fact that the Catholic Church sent an independent priest to stay at the house, and he left after a week after nothing untoward had happened. For me, it's raising lots of red flags. They vacated the property in 1986, and not one tenant since has reported any supernatural goings on. So for me, I'm going to call bullshit. I just think that the Smells had something going in the house, something that they could not explain. They called in the Warrens to help them, as these were Catholic people. And in a video I watched on YouTube, Jack even confirmed that he believes in God, angels and the devil. And there's nothing wrong with that, as we all have different beliefs. I just think the Warrens took advantage of that. They then played on it, and played it up to something that it was not. And that was not a haunted home. Wow, what an episode. Next week I'm going back to one of my own original creepypasta stories for you all. I just want to say thank you for the love. It's very much appreciated. If you like the podcast, share the podcast. Let's make it grow. Also, if you do like it, please follow me on Spotify or Apple. It'd be greatly appreciated. So, look after yourselves and each other, and until next time.